The Ascension of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 to 20. Jesus showed himself to the 11 and said to them, "Go out to the whole world. Proclaim the good news to all creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These are the signs that will be associated with believers. In my name they will cast out devils. They will have the gift of tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands and be unharmed should they drink deadly poison. They will lay their hands on the sick, who will recover." And so the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. There, at the right hand of God, he took his place, while they, going out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that accompanied it.
Shortly before his ascension into heaven, Jesus says to his apostles and disciples, "Never get tired of looking for the sheep that have gone astray in order to take them back to the fold. Pray, suffer, get people to pray and to suffer. Go around begging the pure, the good, the generous believers for sacrifices and sufferings, because these are the means to convert your brothers. The passion of Christ continues in Christians. I have not excluded you from this great work, which is the redemption of the world. You are all members of one single body. Help one another. Let those who are strong and healthy work for the weaker ones, and let those who are united stretch out their hands and call their brothers who are far away. But will there be any after they have been brothers in one house?" Jesus is asked. "There will be some." "Why?" "For so many reasons. They will still have my name, and what is even more, they will take pride in that name. They will work to make it known. They will help in making me known as far as the extreme boundaries of the earth. Let them do so, because, I remind you, whoever is not against me is for me." But, poor children, their work will always be incomplete, their merits always imperfect. They cannot be in me if they are separated from the vine. Their works will always be incomplete. You, I say you, referring to your future successors, must be where they are. Do not say, like a Pharisee would, "I am not going so that I won't be contaminated," or lazily, "I'm not going because there is already someone there who preaches the Lord," or timidly, "I'm not going so that I won't be driven away by them." Go, I tell you, go to all peoples, as far as the boundaries of the world, so that all my doctrine and my only church may be made known and that souls may be able to become part of it. At another time before his ascension, Jesus says, "He who remains in me will have no harm from the evil one. I solemnly tell you that those who are united to me in serving the Most High Creator, whose desire is the salvation of every man, will be able to expel demons and to make reptiles and poisons harmless, to pass among wild beasts and through flames without being hurt. And they will be able to do this for all the time that God wants them to remain on the earth to serve him." It is now the day of the ascension on a hillside above Gethsemane. Jesus calls to himself the shepherds who adored him at his birth, Lazarus, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, Manaen, Maximinus, and the others of the 72 disciples. But he particularly keeps the shepherds close to himself, saying, You were near the Lord who had come from heaven, bent over his annihilation. You are to be near the Lord who is going back to heaven, with your souls rejoicing because of his glorification. You have deserved this place because you believed, notwithstanding that all the circumstances were unfavorable, and you were able to suffer for your faith. I thank you for your faithful love. I thank all of you, you, my friend Lazarus, you, Joseph, and you, Nicodemus, who took pity on the Christ when to do so might have been very dangerous. You, Manaen, who despised the filthy favours of an unclean man to follow me on my way. You, Stephen, flowery crown of justice, who left what was imperfect for what was perfect and will be crowned with a garland. With this you are not yet acquainted, but it will be announced to you by the angels. You, John, for a short period of time, brother to the most pure breast, and having come more to the light than to the sight. And you, good women disciples, stronger in your kindness than Judith. And you, Margia, my child, from now on you will be called Marshall, and may this name, O Marshall, show you your future destiny. Be the apostle in barbarian countries and conquer them to the All Lord. You are all blessed by me in this farewell. From the Father I invoke the reward for those who have comforted the sorrowful journey of the Son of Man. Blessed be mankind in this chosen part among Hebrews and Gentiles that has manifested itself in its love for me. Blessed be the earth with its herbs and flowers and its fruits that have given me pleasure and refreshment so many times. Blessed be the earth with its waters and its tepidness, for its birds and its animals that many a time exceeded man in giving relief to the Son of Man. May you be blessed, sun, and you, sea, and you, mountains, hills, plains. Blessed be you, stars, my companions in my night prayers and in my sorrow. And you, moon, who illuminated me as I wandered around in my pilgrimages of the evangelizer. May all you creatures be blessed, the works of my Father, my companions in this mortal hour. You have been friendly to him who has left heaven to relieve tortured mankind of the troubles that sin has caused to separate them from God. And may you also be blessed, you innocent instruments of my torture, thorns, metals, wood, twisted hemp, because you have assisted me in fulfilling the word of my Father. How thundering is Jesus' voice. It spreads through the tepid, calm air like a bronze gong. It propagates in waves over the sea of faces looking at him from all directions. I say that there are hundreds of people around Jesus as he goes up with his more beloved ones towards the top of the Mount of Olives. But when Jesus arrives at the field of the Galileans, in which there are no tents in this period of time between the two festivities, he says to his disciples, "Stop the people where they are, and then follow me." He climbs further up, as far as the highest summit of the mountain. It is the summit closer to Bethany, which it dominates from above, than to Jerusalem. Near to him are his mother, the apostles, Lazarus, the shepherds, and Margiam. Further away, in a semicircle, are the other disciples there to hold the people back. Jesus is standing on a large stone that protrudes a little and stands out in its whiteness among the grass of a clearing. He is brightly illuminated by the sun that makes his garment shine as white as snow and his hair like gold. His eyes sparkle in a divine light. He opens out his arms in the gesture of an embrace. He seems to be wishing to press to his chest the multitudes of the earth whom his spirit sees represented in that crowd. His unforgettable, inimitable voice gives the last order. Go in my name to evangelize the peoples as far as the ends of the earth. God be with you. May his love comfort you. May his light guide you. May his peace dwell in you until you reach eternal life. He becomes transfigured in beauty, handsome, as handsome and even more so than he was on Tabor. They all fall on their knees, worshipping. While he is already rising from the stone on which he was standing, he looks once again for the face of his mother, and his smile reaches a power that no one will ever be able to express. It is his last goodbye to his mother. He rises. The sun, now more free to kiss him, as no foliage, not even a thin leaf, intercepts its beams, brightens with its splendour the God-man, who with his most holy body ascends towards heaven, displaying his glorious wounds that shine like living rubies. The rest is a pearly smile of light, and it is really the light that is revealing itself for what it is at this last moment, just as on Christmas night. Creation sparkles in the light of the Christ who is ascending, a light exceeding that of the sun, a superhuman and most blissful light, a light descending from heaven to meet the light ascending to it. And Jesus Christ, the Word of God, disappears from the sight of men in this ocean of brightness. On the earth, only two noises are heard in the deep silence of the ecstatic crowd. The cry of Mary when he disappears, "Jesus!" And the weeping of the old shepherd Isaac. The others are struck dumb with religious astonishment, and they remain there as if they were waiting until two snow-white angelical lights in human form appear, repeating the words mentioned in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, "Come, Maria, and I will console you with a light entirely for you." I will comment on another side of the gospel sentence, "You will step on snakes and scorpions and not be harmed." Whoever is full of me can step on all human doctrines and live among those full of their poison without being harmed. It should also be understood in this way. For if my blessed ones were once really immune from the bites of wild animals and from poisons and other dangers, as long as I so willed, my blessed ones now, who live in the corrupt atmosphere of an idolatrous and demonic society, are equally preserved from all evil by my will. They are in me, and I am in them. There is no room for anything else, and no poison attacks where my love, our love of Jesus and of my beloved one, neutralizes all poison.